Thank you for joining me today. I just believe you're going to be blessed as we continue in the series of the enemies of grace. In the previous session, we were talking about the wrong concept of who Satan is and how devastating that can be, because it can really influence your faith so negatively. Now, the angle from which I come is, whatsoever is an enemy of faith, or whatever tampers with your faith, is an enemy of grace. Because the Word of God clearly says in Romans chapter 5, and we can quickly go and read that, that we have got access by faith into grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Let's just read that quickly and let that be established in your heart. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I read verse 2 again. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. We've got access by faith into grace. And in a next session, we're going to look at the difference between your faith and the faith of Christ. Because there are people that say we are saved by the faith of Christ. Now that is true. But there's something else about it that has to come from our hearts. We must realize that if all people are just saved because of Jesus Christ, and all people are just saved because of what Jesus has done without faith, then you will find people, all people are born again. All people are in life, but their faith is keeping them where they are. Because they are born in houses, born in religion, born in places where there's no faith. That's why the world continues in death today. But if I look at my life, my children were born, but they live in life. Because from the day that they could understand, I was explaining the message of grace to them, what Jesus Christ has done for them, they believe it, therefore they experience righteousness from where they could remember. So, if that could be in more houses, we find a change in this world. But it's not like that. Now, let's get back to Satan and where he comes from, what has happened to him, and why it is like this. In the previous session, we said that we've discussed Isaiah 45 from verse 6, around about there, where it says that God creates evil and what it means. It doesn't mean God directly creates evil, but evil is brought forth when people don't believe in what God has done. If you haven't listened to that, just go onto the website, click there, it is yours. Be blessed by it, man. Okay, now there's a doctrine going around that says that God made Satan the way he is today. That God just out of his sovereignty created Satan. Now, I believe that God lives out of who he is, and God is love. Now, God is not God. Let me put it this way. God cannot do anything or all things. He's almighty, but his almightiness, if I can use that word, is in a certain category. God cannot just murder. God cannot rape a woman. He cannot do that. God cannot lie. God cannot steal. There are certain things that God cannot do. God cannot break His word. God cannot break His covenant. God cannot, where He is today, cast Jesus out of heaven. It's impossible. He cannot do that. There's certain things God cannot do. And if we say He is sovereign, that means that you are a robot. You've got no choice. Don't need any faith. You need nothing because God is sovereign. He decides what you think, everything in your mind. No, it's not like that. God is not sovereign in that sense. God is, I believe when we use the word sovereign, it should be almighty. He's got more power and more might and more rulership than any other person or being that there is. But God cannot do all things. I mean, God is love. Love never fails. So God can never fail you. It's impossible for Him. He cannot do that. There are many things that God cannot do. God cannot not forgive you. It's impossible. Because you have received forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. And once you believe, you are in there, in Jesus, and you are forgiven. Amen. Now, there are many things that God cannot do. Maybe I must one day make a session on what God cannot do. Now, let's quickly go to Isaiah 54. And we're going to read there from verse 15. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. In righteousness shall you be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth the instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment shall thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, righteousness was seen as obedience to the law. Now, the righteousness that these people received. Now, firstly, we need to look at Isaiah 54 in a physical way. We always want to interpret spiritual. Now, I believe there's a place for a spiritual interpretation. And we will speak about the spiritual interpretation of the scripture as well. Isaiah 54, there's a nation that struggles. And there are people that rise up against them. And God simply says here, in righteousness thou shalt be established. In other words, in righteousness you shall stand up and you will not be oppressed. Because you are righteous. And once you are righteous, then certain protection rights and certain things came towards you. Okay? Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. So the people that came against, that wanted to make war, was not of God. It was not ordained by God. God didn't tell them to come together. God didn't initiate the whole thing. Behold, so he says, look. So these people that come together here. Look, they are people that gather together, but the one that blows the coals in the fire and that brings forth an instrument for his work, what is his work? It is to waste and to destroy. Okay? I've made him. So what God is actually saying is that person is way low beneath my authority and my power. He does not have rule over you. I've chosen to make you righteous. You are right. They are wrong. And they have come against you. It doesn't come by me. And I have even created that man that creates and makes the weapon to kill you. Now, so many people read that to say God made the man to make the weapon to kill you. Now, God clearly says it's not of me. What they do against you is not of me. I've created the destroyer to destroy. Now, that destroyer there, or the waster, doesn't speak of Satan. It speaks of this nation that wants to destroy. Now, that word too, I believe it's not translate correctly, because the context here is the man who makes the calls and the nation who goes out and destroys. And God says they come against you, but that's not of me. So the fact that they are against you, the fact they want to destroy you, is not of me. It's of themselves. And I would interpret that scripture in this way: and I have created the waster who destroys. So, because God wants to give the people of Israel, the people that this nation comes against, the understanding that He's greater than the destroyer, for He created the destroyer, speaking about the person, not what He does. People, we need to realize that God is only good, man. He's not bad. He created the destroyer, but He does not create the destruction that He brings forth. He does not work in him to bring that forth. And he said to them clearly here, he says, I have created this, verse 15, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. These people who want to destroy you, the destroyer who destroys, that destruction wants to come to you, is not of God. So of who is it? It's of himself. But the man who destroys, God created. Let me give you a good example. In our town, it happened about 3 or 4 weekends in a row. There was a man that would take old men, old ladies, young babies, and rape them and kill them. That's what he did. He raped a young girl, a baby, and then he beat her to death with a stone. Now let me tell you something, that's evil, man. But I want to tell you another thing. God created that man, but not to do what he does. But God created that man. So, if that man should ever come to our house, I've got rulership over him. He might come to our house. He might have something to do with people in the church. But we can rule over him. For God created him, meaning that God is greater than him. But what he does, God didn't create that. But God made that man. That's what he is actually saying here. And putting these people's hearts at peace to say to Israel, listen, don't worry. I've made that man. I'm greater than him, just as much as what I've made you. You can't overrule me, neither can he. And your righteousness is of me. And no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper, even if they come. What do they want to do with the weapon? They want to waste and to destroy. God didn't create the man to destroy. The destruction that that man wants to bring upon Israel and the fact they gather against Israel to destroy is not of God. Amen. So, and that scripture does not speak of Satan. Now, I do believe if we interpret this in a spiritual sense, we talk about our righteousness and everything that comes against our righteousness to destroy it. Now, God has created people, but those people, there are people that come against our righteousness. But no weapon that is formed against me, doesn't matter what people do to tell me I'm not the righteousness of God, it will not prosper, it will not take away my righteousness, for my righteousness is of God. Hallelujah. Now that's what it means. Let's read through it once again. Verse 17. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Now, spiritually interpreted, if people come against me, I will say that's nonsense to condemn me. I'm not in condemnation. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Now, this scripture has got two interpretations, the physical interpretation and the spiritual interpretation. The physical interpretation is that God created man, normal men, and was man standing up against Israel. God is not going to allow them, that normal man, to come over and just destroy his people. It's not going to do that. Because God is greater than that man. So many times people think that their enemy is greater than their God. And God was just telling people plain forward, right here is the man who makes the instrument to destroy. I've made him. I'm greater than him. And the man who uses the instrument, I am also greater than him. Never think that this is of me. I've never ordained this. It's not my plan. I'm against them. Your righteousness is off me. And they, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. No tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall prosper, for your righteousness is of me. Man, isn't that powerful? I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. There's a man, a normal human being. God says, you, I am greater than him. He will not prosper you. And never think that that person that brings the hard time was created by me for the purpose to bring it over you, for they come together and that's not of me. Okay, now, let's go to James. Now, the reason why I just minister about the scripture is because people take that part that says, he created the waster to destroy. They think that God speak about the devil, thinking that God made the devil with a purpose to destroy the church. Now, that is absolutely not the truth. God is not, he doesn't have a split personality. The Bible says in James chapter 1 that only what is good comes from God. And nothing that is evil comes from God. And don't be in error, my brother. So if you say that God created the devil with a purpose to destroy the church, my friend, you are in error. And it will rob your faith. A teaching like that is an enemy of the grace of God. The reason why it's an enemy of the grace of God is it will tamper with your faith. Because you will not be persuaded of what God has done anymore. Because if God created the man who brings sickness to make you sick, and God heals you, what type of God is he? It brings forth confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. Man, God is good. He's against Satan. He's against what's evil. He's against this message of By your works you must be made righteous. He's also against the message that says without faith you can be made righteous. He's against that. So God is against Satan. God didn't create Satan. You know, imagine I have 3 boys. But I go and I've got another boy on the other side, illegitimate basically. And I teach him and I train him on a daily basis on how to murder my children. How to steal their things and how to murder them. And then I come like this big hero with a different plan, and when they're just about to murder my children, I come and I save them. But my plan doesn't work 100%. Some of my children get killed in this whole ordeal. Man, what type of a father am I? That is a faith-robbing doctrine which is born out of the heart of Satan. It's not from God. And that's what the devil wants you to think, because it puts God in a bad light, and you will never have peace in your heart believing that. Never think God made Satan the way he is. He wasn't made like that. He believed himself. He was made holy and righteous, and he believed himself into what he is, just as what God made Adam. He made him righteous, and he believed himself into what he is today. And God brought righteousness unto all the world, and every sin and every bad thing that's in this world today is because people believe themselves into it. And because of an ignorance of what God has done for them in Jesus Christ, because they don't have access to grace through faith. Man, that is a mouthful, but go and check that out. Let's go to Revelations chapter 11. And we're just going to have a look here at something that's really, really a blessing. Revelations chapter 11, I think it's from verse 9. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, listen to this. In the great city. Now, when it speaks of the great city in the book of Revelations, it firstly speaks of Babylon. Babylon is the great city. Okay? And this Babylon is spiritually interpreted. It's also called, spiritually interpreted, it's called Egypt, and it's called Sodom. And it's called the place where our Lord was crucified, which was Jerusalem. So, spiritually interpreted, the great whore of Babylon, Babylon the great city. If you go and read the book of Revelation, it speaks of the great city Babylon. The great city Babylon has fallen. So, Babylon is also called Sodom, is also called Egypt, is also called Jerusalem, if it is spiritually interpreted. So there's a spiritual interpretation for every scripture. I mean, you can take Egypt and say it's a physical place. There's nothing, Egypt had a physical king, it's called Pharaoh. Okay, it was a physical place. But let me tell you, it can be spiritually interpreted. Egypt is bondage, man. Egypt is called, Egypt can also be called here Sodom or Jerusalem or Babylon. Now, who's the ruler of Egypt? It was called Pharaoh. But spiritually interpreted, who was the ruler of Egypt? It's called the ruler of this whole, of Jerusalem, which was spiritually interpreted, Babylon. Now, who was the ruler of Babylon? It is Satan. That's who it is. He said unto the Pharisees, your father is the devil. Now, was their physical father the devil? No. But the one who ruled them, the one who was over them, they were part of Jerusalem. Their father was Satan. The head of them was Satan. So spiritually interpreted, physically interpreted, they all had fathers. But spiritually, they had another father, which was the devil, which was the ruler over there. But they had a physical ruler and they had a spiritual ruler. So let's look at this, because here the Bible says, and the writer John does this by the words of Jesus Christ. He spiritually interprets what he said, you know, earlier in the Bible. Now let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah, and we're just going to have a look at. from chapter 14, and we're going to look at Lucifer and who Lucifer is. Now listen, Lucifer in this context here is a physical king. It's not Satan. It's a physical king. Let's read it. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" Now Lucifer, if you go and read earlier in chapter 14, speaks of he was the ruler of the city Babylon. Okay? "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nation?" So there was a physical nation, there was a physical city, Babylon. They went and they ruled nations, they've weakened nations. But the ruler of this nation has fallen physically. This historically he's fallen physically. Let's not think of spiritual things, physically. "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will exalt, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." So what did this physical king say? He said, "I will exalt myself. I'm God on this world, in this world." And what happened to him? He has fallen. Physically, there was a physical king called Lucifer who has tried to exalt himself to be like God out of his own efforts. "I'm going to be like God." What happened to him? He was physically, he died. You can go and read it. There's church history. Go and read the whole of chapter 14. You will see how he was just wasted because of what he said and because he was thinking, "By my own power, I can be like God." But now, what's the spiritual interpretation of this? Now, remember, Babylon is the great city, which is also interpreted as Egypt, which is also interpreted as Sodom, which is also interpreted as Jerusalem. Now, Lucifer, spiritually interpreted, who's that now? That is the king, that is the king of the great city Babylon, which was the king of Jerusalem. Now, who was the king of Jerusalem? Now, we can't take it to a physical king now. We must be spiritual now. It must be spiritually discerned. So, who was the king of Jerusalem? He said to the Pharisees, "Your father is Satan." So, who was the one that ruled over them? It was Satan. Who was the one that prompted the minds of those Pharisees to kill Jesus? It was their father, the devil, for he was a manslayer or a murderer from the beginning, according to John. So, if you go and look at the ruler, the one under whose power the Pharisees were, they were part of Jerusalem, they were part of Babylon, they were part of Egypt. Those Pharisees, spiritually interpreted. And they had a ruler that was over them, which was, and I don't think his name is called Lucifer, his name is Satan. Which was Satan. Spiritually interpreted Lucifer here, which was a physical king, is Satan. Spiritually interpreted. Because we must interpret this spiritually as well. You can't interpret the Bible just the way you want. You must interpret the Bible the way it is. And the way it is, it is physical and spiritual. Jesus died physically, but spiritually it meant something to me. Joseph is a type of Christ. Noah, and what he went through was prophetic of Jesus. It was a type of Jesus going, be in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. And then he rose again, and then salvation came to people. Now that's the way it works. If you go and look at the spiritual interpretation of the people led out of Egypt. I mean, there was a spiritual interpretation. They were physically led out of Egypt, but it had a spiritual interpretation. Even when they went through the water, when the sea were open, they went through. What does it mean? It was through the Jordan. It was a baptism. It speaks of baptism. So that's exactly, it was spiritually interpreted. Now what's the spiritual interpretation of the ruler of Babylon, which was the ruler of Jerusalem, which was, it was Satan. That's what it is. So never think that, and the reason why I say this is very important. Because the way the ruler fell was by exalting himself, saying, "I'll be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne. I will do this." And this is how Satan was cast out of heaven. He was cast out of the kingdom of God. Forget heaven, just the kingdom of God. Because his thought pattern, what was birthed in him was, I will make myself like the Most High. Not that God had a problem with anybody that's like him. I believe everything has been created with his touch in it. We were made in the image of God. And I believe the same with the angels of God. They were made beautiful. But he said, I will exalt myself. Yep. He's talking here about exalting yourself. Man's effort or his own effort. By my works I will be, I'll place myself where I'm supposed to be. And that destroys himself. And he did not believe that he is who God says he's supposed to be. But by his own effort he became. Now that is devastating, and by that thought pattern there was no place for him in the kingdom of God. He was cast out. He's not in God's kingdom. So God didn't make the devil the way he is. Now let me tell you, that devil is an evil devil. His plan is to kill you, his plan is to destroy you through his thought pattern. Now there's a lot of this on the fulfillment of the law. But listen to what I've got to say here. This is really an enemy of grace. To think that God made the devil the way he is. No way. That will bring a question mark in your mind. And the character of God will be questioned. It's not the plan of God. It's not the will of God that you ever think that God made the devil the way he is now. No ways. It's not like that. So what happened here? It says here, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So this one will be brought down to hell. And that's what happened to Satan as well. He's brought down to hell, spiritually interpreted. He's brought down to hell. Why? Because he started to think a thought pattern that says, by what I do and by my own effort, I can exalt myself and be like God. He sold that to Adam and Eve and said, by what you do, you can become like God. And what happened to them? They were also cast out of the garden. That's the way it is. So never think that God made Satan the way he is. He fell from where he was by believing a doctrine that separated him from grace. He didn't believe in what God does, but he believed in his own works. So God never made Satan the way he is today. He fell to it. And the same way Adam fell, and the same way man can fall by not believing the message of grace and be separated from the kingdom of God and go to hell. Now you need to know that. The doctrine of inclusion says that Satan works for God. God made him the way he is. He doesn't work that way. It's not the way it is. Now hallelujah, thank you that we could just, that you just listen to this. Go and meditate upon this. God loves you, man. Surely Satan will try to come against you. But your righteousness is of God. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises an accusation against you saying you've disobeyed the law here, you've disobeyed that, you can condemn it. You can condemn it. For God created the devil. He even has fallen. God is greater than him. He didn't create the devil the way he is today. He made him holy and righteous. Then by thinking lawful thoughts and own effort thoughts, he fell. It destroyed him. And he is out there to get you. But his power and his authority has been taken away to bring in accusation and guilt and sin and the punishment for sin towards you, because sin has been removed from you if you are in Christ. If you are not in Christ, in other words, if you have not believed upon, grabbed a hold of, with a purpose to make use of, you are not born of God. Man, you can get that series, Born of God. It's also on the website here in the Word. Well, get it. Listen to it. You change your life. Amen. Thank you that you've listened to this. Just tune into the next session. God bless you. God loves you. Amen.